Now, this morning I've got a challenge for you. To start our talk this morning, I've got a challenge. It's a musical challenge. So if you're a person who likes music, then this could be right up your street. And the challenge is this. I'm going to play a short, well, Phil will, play a short excerpt from a movie. And your task this morning is to identify what is the movie. Okay, it's a short excerpt. So let's hear it. Okay, any ideas? Any ideas? Gavin, what is it? Whoa, give the man a... Let's hear the full thing, please. Let's hear the... Obviously, you're not working hard enough as a teacher. If you've got time to know the beginnings, the first 4 seconds of a movie score, then we think you need to work harder, brother. Now, this movie, Pirates of the Caribbean, Disney movie, there's a phrase that occurs in, it's kind of one of those little themes. It's lots of plots and themes weaving through that movie. But one of the, there's a little phrase that occurs in there a number of times, and it's a phrase about purpose. And in one scene, Will Turner, who's this humble blacksmith apprentice, he's played by Orlando Bloom, he's picked out from the crowd, and he's told this about his life. Someone says this, there's a touch of destiny about you. In another scene, Elizabeth Swann, who's played by Keira Knightley, is given the same enigmatic prediction. There's a touch of destiny about you. Now, as the plot unfolds, both of these characters go on to become key players who has a big impact on events in the movie. The prediction becomes true. There is a touch of destiny about each of these characters. Now, I know it's only a movie. I like it, but it's only a movie. But it serves as a good introduction to what we're talking about today. I'm not talking about pirates. I'm talking about destiny today. And destiny is something which, in a Christian context, carries, I believe, a lot of weight. It's a weighty word. It's not just to describe our future. Sometimes the word destiny is just a light word to describe what we're going to do in the future. No, in a Christian context, the word destiny actually is a heavy word because it carries the idea of God's purpose for our lives. The very reason why we're here. God is a God of destiny. And so there can be nothing, I would suggest, if you're a Christian this morning, there can be nothing more important than what God has for you to do in the future. So let's pray and ask his help this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the God of destiny. You're the God who has shaped our lives. You're the God who's in charge of our lives. You're the God who works in and through each of us here. And Lord, today we want to ask, would you help us? Holy Spirit, would you come and would you help us to understand something of the purpose for which you made us individually in our mother's wombs? Lord, would you open our eyes to see it? Would you open our hearts to embrace it? Help us this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Summer's nearly over. One of the ways I like to relax during the summer is by reading a book. And I thought, what book could I read over the summer, sort of just to help me relax? I found a bestseller from the Sunday Times non-fiction list, and it was by Brian Cox called The Forces of Nature. It's a popular science book. He's a very amicable physicist, astrophysicist, Professor Cox. He's on TV a lot. And I enjoyed his explanations of why is the sky blue, why the trees are green, and why honeycombs are hexagonal. Despite his profession of being a strong atheist, I actually found the book really encouraging because it got me thinking about today's topic, which is that of destiny. See, as an astrophysicist, Brian Cox, he's amazed at how lucky we are as the human race to even be here. In his opinion, let me quote what he says. He says, there cannot be any cosmic significance for our existence. because our existence depends on a series of chance events. See, as far as Brian's concerned, we're just here as a result of one massive big accident. We could very, very, very likely, the chances of being here are so infinitesimally, wow, we're just lucky to be here. And he asks his readers this, does the fact that you're lucky to be alive makes you feel irrelevant or valuable? That's a very interesting question. To Brian Cox, the chance of any life existing is so small, his conclusion is, you are lucky to be here. In his analysis, life is just lucky. But you see, the clear and loud message of the Bible is completely the opposite. Luck has nothing to do with it. There is a personal, real, and specific reason for your life. You are no accident. Even if your mum and dad claim you were an accident, you weren't. You are here because the God of heaven has formed you in your mother's womb by his plan, by his purpose, for his pleasure and his doing. And so that's why I'm doing a series of talks over the next few weeks. And that's why I've called this series of talk, A Touch of Destiny. As I said last week, as we introduced this series, we're going to look at a book in the Old Testament called the Book of Ruth. Ruth is a very small book. It's in the Old Testament, after the Book of Judges. It's a beautiful book. It's a story about a remarkable young woman. And it's going to help us today as we find out a little bit about God's purpose for our lives. She wasn't from God's people. She wasn't born the nation of Israel. The book of the Old Testament is very much about the people of Israel and God's purpose through them. But she was born from a nation called the Moabites. The Moabites would live in modern day Jordan, on the other side, the east side of the Dead Sea. And God had a destiny. God had a specific purpose for her life. A remarkable purpose. Through a series of unlikely events, she went on to being from outside God's family to being at the very heart of God's purpose for the whole of humanity. You see, God wanted Ruth to be part of the human ancestry of Christ. So he wanted Ruth to be Jesus Christ's earthly great, 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 great grandmother. God had a purpose for her, that her genes would be passed down. God had a purpose for that woman. And yet she was born outside of God's people, but she had the privilege of having God work in her life and through her life. Now, if someone who was outside of God's people could be taken hold of, used by God in a remarkable way, I want to suggest this morning that you, as part of God's family, as part of God's people, God has a remarkable, beautiful and wonderful purpose for your life. And we're going to look at that together this morning. You've got a unique and special plan for your life. It was dreamed up by God. It's been written down by God, as we're going to see. And God is watching over his plan to fulfill a destiny for you. This is the verse I want to start with. It's in Psalm 139. It's a beautiful Psalm 139. It's a psalm and verse 16, Psalm of David. And this is what David said about his life and about your life. David said this, all the days planned for me by God were written down in God's book before I was one day old. That's a mind-blowing verse of the Bible that before, while you were in your mother's womb, while you were being made and put together inside your mother's womb, there was God got a book, and in it he wrote every day of your life. He destined things for your life. Now, what that doesn't mean is that automatically all those things are just going to come about. Because our relationship with God is we are choosing to take part in God's purposes. We're saying, yes, God, I want to take part in the things you have for my life. It's not that God somehow forces it upon us, but God says, I've got a purpose, I've got a plan. Would you like to take part in that? Would you like to walk in the paths that I prepared for you? You've got a choice, say yes or no. If you're a Christian today, you've made that step of saying, God, here I am, I want to walk down that path. If you're not a Christian this morning, can I urge you, seriously, God has a purpose for your individual life that's far better than anything you could dream up. If I gave you a piece of paper and wrote down your dreams on the bit of paper, God would say, forget that, I've got something far, far better, far better, far better for your life. right now in heaven, God has a book and your name's on the cover. In it are the things that God has for you. So I'm sorry, Brian Cox, you may be right about a lot of scientific things, but very wrong about life's purpose. And in becoming a Christian, that was the first key, the first part to starting off down this road. As we read in chapter 2 and verse 10, this is what Paul said to the Ephesian Christians, that God has created us anew. In other words, we've been born again. He's talking about the process of becoming a Christian. We've been made new in Jesus. The reason why we've been born again is this, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Isn't that an amazing thought? Before you were born, before you were here, God has planned things for you to do. Things that are going to bless you, things that are going to work through you, things that are going to be good things. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy, but it means it's going to be good. And so, what an amazing thought. That is the very purpose by which we were created. There's a touch of destiny about your life this morning. We're going to look at the book of Ruth today. How does this work in practical ways? That's the theory. How does it work in practice? Now, Ruth's story, the book of Ruth, starts not with the person of Ruth, but with a person called Naomi. And Naomi was a woman who was living in Bethlehem. She had a husband and two sons. But then the story goes on that a famine struck that part of the world. And so Naomi, her husband, her two sons decided to leave Bethlehem and travel into the land, what is now Jordan, which is the land of the Moabites, where there was some food, to find some work and to get some food. So off they set. And there were some sad things that happened whilst they were away from home. Firstly, the husband died. Secondly, both sons got married to local women. And thirdly, tragically, both sons died. So Naomi finds herself in a foreign country. Her husband died. Both sons have died. And she's just left with her two daughters-in-law and no means of earning money. In that culture, at that time, there was no easy means of women earning money. And so she was heartbroken at the loss of everything. And so she decides to return to Bethlehem to look for her relatives and try and get some support. Naomi tries to persuade the two daughters-in-law who she's got. She said, look, you stay here in the land of Moab. You stay here in what is modern-day Jordan. You stay here. I'll go back, but you stay here and see if you can find, your husbands have died, see if you can remarry and find someone else to look after you. She tries to persuade them, but one of the daughters-in-law called Ruth insists. Ruth says, no, I am definitely coming back with you. And in a beautiful passage, we're going to look at it together. It's Ruth 1 verse 16. Ruth says this to Naomi. It's the most beautiful, a beautiful expression of her heart. This is what she says. She says, don't urge me, this is Ruth to Naomi, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. See, Ruth realized there's something about the God of Naomi that is good. The gods, many gods there were in Moab at the time, she was rejecting those. In her heart, there was something that wanted the living God. In her heart, there was something that recognized this is the true and living God. I want your God, the God you follow, the God that you believe in. I want him in my life. And so I'm going to go with you. I want to learn about this God. I want to find this God. I want to know this God. I want to be in relationship with this God. What a beautiful thing for her to say. Because you see, God had a destiny for Ruth in this Davidic line through which Jesus came. That's the big picture. That's the summary of the story of the book. But through the incident that happened along the way, we're going to learn that God intervenes in our lives to bring about his purposes. We're going to look at two different ways that God intervenes in our lives. One this week and one, not next week, it's International Service, the week after. We're going to see how does God intervene. And the book of Ruth, Scott, shows us two different ways that God, in a sense, they're contrasting ways. In a sense, it shows the balance of how God works. And so today, I want us to see through the story of Ruth that God works through his sovereign purpose. That today God is seated in heaven and he is the sovereign God who is in control of world events. He's in control of individual lives. He's in control of what he has made. And so through the circumstances of our everyday life, we see that sovereign work purpose working out. Now, there's a tragic opening to the book of Ruth. Naomi loses her husband, then both her sons. We don't know why they die, but their death leaves her bereft and bitter. Naomi's response is to blame God. Naomi's cross at God. She knows that God is a sovereign God. She knows he's in charge of events. And so her response is, God, why did you do this? A very human, a very understandable response. She knows he directs the destiny of world empires. She knows he directs the details of our personal life. Her response is totally understandable and very human. Let's look at it in Ruth 1 and verse 18 to 20, 19 to 21. This is what we read. When they arrived in Bethlehem, so this is Naomi and Ruth arrived back now in Bethlehem. They've lost all the husband and the sons. They arrived back now, Ruth and Naomi in Bethlehem. The whole town was stirred and said, can this be Naomi? They recognized her. She said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Now, Mara is a word that means bitter. Call me bitter, she says. Don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter. Because the Lord Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full. She had a husband. She had two sons. I've come back, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Lord has brought great misfortune upon me. Now, Scripture is very clear. God is the one who is in charge of this world. He has made it. There is a devil. There is an adversary. There's forces of darkness against God's purposes. But nevertheless, God is not a like Star Wars job. We haven't got the dark side and the good side. There isn't an equal kind of battle going on, and where everyone's crossing their fingers, I hope the good side win. Because actually, not at all. God is the sovereign God who's in total, utter control. And yet, in this season of world history, until Jesus comes back again, there is a devil, and the forces of darkness are given a certain amount of leeway. It's hard to understand. I can't profess to be able to understand it fully, except to say that we live in a world where that God is utterly in control, but he does permit some things to happen for his greater purpose. Far beyond my little brain to work out. See, sometimes I think my brain's. I think I can work things out. I can think about things. I can understand things. Your brain, however clever you are, your brain is only a 2-pound little bag of mush. Sorry about that, Nick. I wasn't looking at you, brother. And so your ability to understand eternal things is limited. So come on, we've got to humble ourselves before these things. Because we think that because I can't kind of make it add up intellectually, therefore there's something I'm missing. Actually, we're looking here at eternal realities. We're looking at the God who created everything. We're looking at the God who sustains 100,000 million galaxies. So we're not going to work it out, are we, really? Actually, what we need to do is humble ourselves, recognize God says he's the one that's in charge, and yet in his purpose, for way beyond our understanding, sometimes bad things happen to good people. He's not a puppet master. It's not like he pulls our strings, like we're some kind of, we're acting out a play. God's written a script for your life, and he just pulls the strings, and off you get. And it's not like that at all. Actually, God's looking for our cooperation. You've got responsibility. You've got freedom of choice as to whether you cooperate with God's plan. It's not a predetermined script. But this is the remarkable thing. Romans 8:28 is such a good verse to help us understand how God works. Look what Paul said to the Romans. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. Somehow, in a way I can't explain, God takes the things that happen. He works in them. He works through them. He achieves his purposes. So that means my only response to a God like that is faith. Say, okay, God, I don't understand it. I can't nail it down. I can't kind of analyze it. But hey, you're God. I'm not God. And so I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that you're working in and through my circumstances. So whilst we can't say God killed Naomi's husband and two sons, we can't say that. We can say he certainly worked purposefully and fully through the tragic loss to bring about his very best for Naomi and for Ruth. Now, understandably, she was broken in her loss, filled with bitterness and grief. But we know something of what God was doing in her life and through her life, because we can read the end of the book of Ruth. I bet Ruth at the beginning and Naomi would have thought, could we please read the end of the book? Could we please see how it's all going to work out? Because at the time, they must have thought, this is not good. Well, she was very upset because she couldn't see, how is this? How is all this stuff going to work out? If there's difficult things happening in your life at the moment, if there's hard things, if there's loss, if it's tough, if it's difficult, then you can't see how this is going to work out. God, how is this going to work out? Because you haven't read the end of the book, because God is writing that book and you're part of the story. But we've got the privilege here of with Ruth and Naomi of seeing that God, in fact, turned tragedy into triumph. God turned her darkness into light. God turned her desolation into fruitfulness and happiness. That's the purpose of God. You see, after the difficult loss she experienced, there was going to be a new season. And it was going to be very fruitful, and it was going to be filled with God's new purposes for her. There'd been this terrible, inexplicable personal loss. And yet, as a result of the loss, God brings about something new, something profound. There's a touch of destiny about her life. Now, Naomi, as we've read, arrives back in Jerusalem. And when she arrives back in that home town of Jerusalem, Bethlehem. She arrives back at just the right time. God's timing was, it was harvest time. There was an abundance. She was hungry. They didn't have any food. And she arrives back in Bethlehem and they're having a harvest. She arrived back at the perfect time, at just the right time. God's timing was perfect. You know, God's timing is always perfect in our lives. When you're at wit's end corner and there's nowhere to go, God knows where you are and what's happening. And God provides, God opens a door, God makes a way through at just the right time. You didn't need it before, you didn't need it a month ago, you didn't need it a year ago. Now, when you need it, God provides. It was just the right time. She arrived back, she was hungry, there was no food. She arrived back and it was abundant harvest time. The perfect time to arrive back home. She had lost both sons, but she had gained Ruth, this very special daughter-in-law, through whom great blessing would come to her, but more importantly, through which salvation for the whole world would come through her daughter-in-law. What an amazing thing. She didn't realize it to start with, but through this daughter-in-law was going to come blessing to the whole world. What a privilege to have her as a daughter-in-law. When I arrived in London, long, long time ago, I was 21. And I arrived to work. I got a job in London here. And I didn't have a church to belong to. I didn't have any family. My family live up in Manchester, some of you know. I didn't have any friends, no friends at all. If I lived in a hostel, I had the tiniest of rooms. And London's a big place. And so I arrived in London and I felt pretty lonely, to be frank. And I felt very isolated. And it was one of those times where everything's taken away. Family's taken away. Friends taken away. Everything away. I just came here to work and I had no one, no support, nothing. And do you know what? Looking back now at that time, it was a difficult time. It was a desolate time. But it was the beginning of God just leading me into something that would then open up doors of opportunity and fruitfulness and goodness. And so in one sense, I'm glad I went through that season. If I hadn't stepped out, if I hadn't come, then I would have missed out on who knows what things that God has blessed my life. And so actually, if today is a hard season for you, can I encourage you? God knows. God cares. And God has got this taped. He knows. And there's going to be a time where God will just open the door. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week. But God is going to make a way for you. Thing was, I didn't see at the time. And Naomi and Ruth, they realized it was a hard season. They'd arrived back in Bethlehem. But Naomi does something important I want us to see today, is Naomi recognizes that they come back to that place and that God had now started to move. So I want us to just, it's just really important this, because she had the spiritual maturity to recognize God's brought us back here. Now something started to happen. The fact we've come back at the harvest time, it wasn't a coincidence. The fact we've come back, God is starting to do something. The book of Ruth tells us what happens. This is what happened. Ruth had an idea. The idea was, I'm going to go and get some food from the harvest. And so part of the provision at that time for people that were poor is they were allowed to go in the field and collect the food, the harvest that was left at the edges. It was one of the ways of providing for the people that were poor at the time. They were allowed to go and do that. And so she did that. So she went out and she gathered what was at the edge of the field. She picked a field at random, and she started picking up leftovers. But this is where we see God was at work. Bethlehem, there's lots of fields. I've been to Bethlehem, and it's a small town, and around it are lots and lots of fields. And she picked one field. Out of all the fields in the region of Bethlehem, she picked the field that belonged to someone called Boaz. It was a random picking, but she ended up in this field that belonged to this man, Boaz, who was a distant relative of Naomi and of Ruth, and was the one person in position to help them in their time of difficulty. Now, there's a key phrase in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 3. This is what it says. So Ruth went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters, which would pick up the stuff that's left on the floor. As it turned out, she was working in the field of Boaz. See, the narrator is telling us that it's almost like a tongue-in-cheek, as kind of, as if by chance, she happened to choose the one field where she was going to be blessed. The one field where there was going to be someone that could help her. Amazing. You see, so often things in our lives, when we look back at blessing, we think, well, maybe that was just chance that happened. I just happened to go there. I happened to be in the right place. I happened to be working at the right, whatever it was. Actually, no. As it turned out, God is directing your life through the circumstances around you. God is a big God, and it's not hard for him to direct you in your life. So that you come to circumstances where a door opens, opportunity comes, and it was certainly not chance. As it turned out, is God's moving in our life. Now the thing is that Naomi, because she was a person who'd walked with God, knew God, she saw this. She saw, hey, hang on, this is no chance. This is actually God at work. God has arranged this. God has intervened. And so the narrator uses this phrase, as it turned out, almost tongue in cheek, because there's nothing chance about it. Every other field in Bethlehem, Ruth would have struggled to make a small amount of food. She'd have gone around the edge, got a few little bits of corn, maybe got enough to make a loaf or something like that. But here in Boaz's field, he made sure she had so much she could hardly carry it home. He blessed her. He didn't say, well, you can have a little scraps around there. He said to his harvesters, make sure you deliberately drop stuff right in front of her. Because he wanted to bless her. Because he knew something of the fact that she was related to her. And he wanted to bless her. And if she'd have gone to other people's fields, she was in danger as a woman of being molested by the workers in the field. But not in Boaz's field. In Boaz's field, he set a guard, a watch over her, that she would be kept safe. In every place she would have gone, there would have been uncertainty about, will I have enough to eat tonight? Will I get enough gleanings from the field? Will I get enough bits of corn to manage to make enough food for me and my mother-in-law? But what happened was God had put her in a place, the only place where she was going to be blessed. I want to say this really illustrates a very important principle, I believe, of one of the ways God works in our life, is he arranges circumstances in our life to bless us, to be a method of blessing. Many, many years ago, long time ago, I was here in London, living in London, and I was here at New Life, and I was working outside of London. So every morning, I got in my car, drove up the M1, and went to work outside of London. That was all right for a while. Got a bit of a drag after a time. And after 2 years, I was exhausted of all that commuting. So I thought, well, maybe I should pack up my flat here in London. I was renting a flat, pack up my flat, leave New Life, go and move up to where I was working. So I talked it over with someone here in the church. I talked to someone who was older and wiser than myself. And I actually realized, as we talked, God is opening, has opened, is opening, blessing for me living here, being part of this church in that season. And so I didn't do that. Instead, I got a job. I did the other thing of getting a job here in central London. Someone else had the clarity to see that God had opened up me for me a life here in the city. And I'm very grateful I sought that help. The last 30 years, my testimony is God has opened blessing after blessing. It's not always been easy, but God has made a way and God has opened so much blessing in my life because I was in his right place at his right time. You know, so often in our lives as believers, God arranges things which at first sight seem to be just turned out well, just that's the way it is, just as it happened. But actually, if we've got Naomi's maturity, we can see that as it turned out, is actually the right place to be for God's blessing. God lines things up in a way that we could never bring them about ourselves. As it turned out, you're in the right job to get promoted. As it turned out, you're living in the right place for your children to go to a school. They were happy. As it turned out, you're in the right church to grow as a Christian. As it turned out, whatever, it's the right place, whatever aspect of your life, that God is going to bless and grow you. Now, the thing about this is Naomi spotted this is God on the move. This isn't chance. Ruth didn't get it. Ruth didn't see it. Ruth is only just starting to know about the God of heaven. She said, I want your God to be my God. And Ruth could have so easily worked in Boaz's field one day, thought that was pretty good. I'll go and try another field tomorrow. And Naomi says to her, she says, don't do it. Don't try it. Don't try any other field. You stay in that field. That is God has started to move. This is something God is in. Don't you move out of God's blessing. This is God on the move. You stay in this as a flow here. This is God's place for you in this time. Then do it. Naomi spots God on the move and Ruth didn't. Can I ask you this morning, what is God opening up for you in this season? In your family? Your work, your witness, what is God opening up for you? Have you seen it? Am I a little bit like Ruth, not recognizing what God is doing? If I'm not sure, if I'm thinking, God, I don't know what you're doing in this season, then maybe I should ask God and say, God, I don't want to be like Ruth, who didn't see what was happening in the circumstance. I want to be like Naomi, who saw, even though she was in a bad way in a sense, she was cross with God, felt she'd been let down. Nevertheless, she had enough spiritual maturity to realize when God is on the move, I need to be a part of this. I need to go with this. I need to flow with what God's doing. Can I ask you to look at your life and recognize what is God doing right now in your life? What is he doing? Where is he moving? Where is he blessing? What has he brought you this point in your life for? See, Ruth hadn't seen God work before, so she wasn't really sure, and she might have missed it. But Naomi had walked with God for years. That's why Naomi said, stay in that field. This is God. I want to finish today with just a lovely scripture, which I think really kind of sums up this whole talk. And it's in Isaiah 43 and verse 19, where the prophet says this. Prophet's words are this. This is God speaking to us. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And the prophets here, the words of God are coming through the prophet, see. And another translation, it says, look, notice, recognize. In other words, God knows that it's possible for us to miss what God's doing. God could be doing something, a new thing could be springing up in your life. There could be something new about to happen, starting to happen, and we could miss it because we don't perceive. Do you not perceive it? See, God knows sometimes we're a bit more like Ruth than Naomi. We miss what God's doing. We kind of think, oh, well, we're going to change this, move there, do this. Because actually, God, what are you doing now? You've put me here. If you're here in London now, God's put you here. If you're here in this church, God's put you here. God can move you elsewhere. If you're at the job you're in, with the family you are, God's put you right here at this time. See, God says, look, notice. Notice, God says, I'm doing a new thing. There's something new about to happen. There's something God's got for you in this season. What has God got for you in this season? What is God saying? Now it springs up. It's talking about something that's just about to start. Maybe you need someone else just to talk through these things and say, these are the options I face, these are the situation I'm in. And maybe someone else can help you, like they helped me all those years ago, to recognize and realize, actually, I was jumping out of the frying pan. No, I shouldn't want to do that. I should stay where I am. It may be a season of change. God may be saying to you, it's a season of change. But there's tremendous wisdom in talking to other people about these things. Do you not perceive it? God knows how easy we miss what he wants. God knows how easy it is. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Is there an area of your life today that seems like a wasteland? Is there an area of your life that seems like a wasteland or a wilderness? God is making a way through that. Now, next time we're going to talk, I'm going to talk about being proactive. I'm going to talk about what we should do to get moving. What's our responsibility to actually make things happen? So this is by way of contrast, just so you can see how I'm going to do two things that are contrast, both are in the book of Ruth. But this week, I want us to really look around our life and perceive, God, what are you doing in my life right now? You're not here by accident. It wasn't an accident you ended up here in this church and here in New Life and here in this part of London and here with your job, whatever you're doing, or you're looking after your kids. It's not by accident. God is a sovereign God that opens doors and directs us. So the question is, right now, where I am, God, what is this new thing you're doing? What is it? Could you open my eyes? I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be someone who doesn't perceive it. Let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes together. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you. Lord, thank you. You work in our lives in different ways. And thank you, Lord, that there are times for us to be proactive, times for us to go and make change happen. But Lord, we also recognize from Scripture that there are times to stop and perceive what you're actually doing in our lives right now, in our hearts, in our circumstances, in our places of work, and in places where we live. And Lord, I don't want to be like Ruth who misses it. I want to be like Naomi, who recognizes this is God. You're on the move. Pray that across us this morning, that for each of us, you would give us eyes to see, spiritual eyes to see what you are doing in our lives. As we're praying this morning, I feel some of us feel like we're up against a brick wall. There's some of us here, I believe this morning, I sense that you just feel like you've walked up against a brick wall and there seems to be no way through. Just seems like this situation won't change. Nothing's going to move. It's just stopped. And the prophet Isaiah says, God is a God who makes a way where there is no way. That's his specialism. That's what he's good at. He's a miracle working God. That he breaks through the brick wall. That he makes a way even when it looks impossible. So if this morning that's you, if you feel I face an impossible situation, I'm up against this wall, I just got nowhere to go. God knows, God cares, and God's speaking this morning into your life. I want to encourage you this morning, don't take matters into your own hands. First of all, look up to heaven. See what God is saying, what God is doing, where the new thing is springing up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a weed called Japanese knotweed, and it's a very powerful weed that can actually, the shoots can split right through paving and the thing on the floor. It can just, the shoots just come right up through the paving, making a way, splitting the stones and things that are there, because it's so powerful. And it's a little picture. God, a little word from God can break through, split something that seems immovable to make a way for his purpose in your life. Just as we're quiet before God, I want to take you back to that book that was written. In heaven today, there's a book written by God for your life. It's got your name on the cover, every page about the things God has made you to be and to do. Wouldn't you like to walk more in that book? God's looking for us to respond to him. Say, God, could you please show me the things you have for my life? Could you please direct the course of my life? Direct my steps, where I work, where I live, what I do, my relationships. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you feel you want to respond to God in some way today, then you can respond by standing up, or you could respond, just keep sat down, but in your heart, stand up. It's not about standing up, but if you want to make some kind of sense to say to God, yeah, I'm in this, I'm in for this, I want this, then let's respond in our hearts or with our bodies, if that helps, just to stand before God and say, God, I want today to be in your purposes in this book that you've got for me. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Jesus. Lord, we humble ourselves this morning before you, and we acknowledge that you are the mighty God who made us in our mother's wombs for your purposes. And we ask, Lord, would you work in us and through us, that at the end of our lives, when we stand before you, when we stand before you on that day when you come, that you would say, well done, good and faithful servant, because we've done the things you've asked us to, we've walked the paths you've planned for us, and we've done the things that have pleased you, Lord. Please, could we be those people? Could you help us? Would you work by your Holy Spirit in our hearts powerfully today, Lord? Jesus. I just feel for some of us, we've wandered off the path. And that's not a criticism, that's just a fact of things have happened, and I've made choices and I've kind of wandered off. And the outstretched arms of Jesus are here today for me and for you, because he's welcoming us right back into the center of his purposes, into the center of all he has for our lives. His arms, the arms of Jesus are open today for you. Run into his arms. Run into his arms. Allow his embrace to touch you today. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Do get a sense this morning of God's Holy Spirit working amongst us in a way like gathering us together, that we would go individually but together as God's people here with him. And so my real what I'm asking this morning for each of us: open your heart to Jesus, say yes to him, whatever he is he's asking of you. Jesus. Let's all stand. Let's all stand together. Just could I encourage, put it just in the silence of your heart, respond to God with words. Just express something. Just talk to God. Bring these things, whatever's in your heart and mind, bring them to God. Talk to him.
Again, good morning to New Life. Welcome to your New Life. We're about to begin, so please take your seats. I want to encourage you this morning to put God at the center. This morning we're starting with Guardian, and I want to encourage you as we proclaim God's goodness. It says in Guardian that you go before me and that you're there beside me. And even if I wander, you're here right now, we're beside me. And I just want to encourage you guys to put God at the center. If you feel like you've had a stressful, busy week, or you've had a rather chilled out week, still, it's an opportunity to put God at the center. So let's stand and we'll sing.
Fantastic. I wonder if you grab a seat, please. Big welcome this morning. It's that time of year. Weather starts to change a little bit. We've got the heaters going there. Fantastic. If today is your first day here at New Life, big welcome. I know over this autumn term, we tend to get new people working in London, new students and stuff. So big, if this is your first, really pray that God touches you and blesses you. It's great to see your smiling faces here this morning. As I say, it's a time of change this autumn. The weather's changing, people coming. Also, we're going to say goodbye to Bethany, because Bethany's going to uni. Give Bethany a big round of applause. Come on down, please, Bethany. It's coming and it's going. And I thought Bethany was actually, you wouldn't believe this, but she was born in this church. not literally here. We weren't all gathered round. Not at all. But it's a great pleasure to pray for Bethany and say goodbye to her. She's off to uni. First of all, Bethany, I want to say a massive congratulations. Bethany got 3 A-stars at A-level. Give her... Fantastic. Well done. She's off to Cambridge University. And Bethany, there are 31 colleges that make up Cambridge University. Which one are you going to?
Selwyn College.
You're going to Selwyn College. Fantastic. So it's a new start. It's a new opportunity. It'll be so much for Bethany as she leaves and she goes to enjoy the time there. We just really wanted to, Bethany, say thank you for all you've done. Joe, just come on down for a minute. Let's get Mrs. West down, the leader of all the children, all the youth. Here she is. Give her a big round, please, Mrs. West.
A few words, please.
I had no idea I was coming down. Do you want me to say something? Oh, you want me to pray? Okay. This is always very hard, this. This is so bittersweet, because we're so thrilled for Bethany and as she takes the next steps, but it's so sad for us. And having said goodbye to Matthew, and there's others going as well, and we've had to say goodbye to George, who's gone to Christ Hospital. So it's very mixed feelings, but very exciting for the next bit. So, yeah, are we going to pray?
Bethany, do you want to say anything in defence?
You really should.
Just to say thanks so much for all the prayers and support over the years. It's really meant so much through, I guess, A-levels and the whole university application. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Shall we stretch out our hands and we'll just pray? And if you feel that God has spoken to you, come and find Bethany afterwards and do share with her if you feel that God is guiding her in some way or speaking to her. Yeah. Father, we're so grateful to you for the young people and the children in our church, and we're so grateful to you for Bethany, for Andrew and for Emily. And Father, we thank you for this door that you have so clearly opened now for Bethany to go up to Cambridge, Lord, and to serve you there and to follow you there. And Father, we pray for your great blessing, your incredible blessing, Lord, that makes rich, Lord, and adds no sorrow with it, Lord, that this blessing, this divine, wonderful blessing from heaven will be poured out on Bethany as she goes. Would you protect her? Would you keep her safe? And could she shine like that burning, shining light up in Cambridge. Thank you. There are many others there who are seeking you and following you. We pray you'd link up with them and they would be a light in that university town, Lord. Father, we just commit her into your hands. And we just pray for this great protection. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Let's just pray. There's one more thing. I just felt, Bethany, just to encourage you. God's hand is on your life, and you stand before a watershed. Things are changing. But I just felt to encourage you to keep your eyes firmly on Jesus. Not to trust what people say, but to trust what Jesus says. To rely fully on him, to cling closely to him. And that as you step out, God will give you wisdom. God will guide you. God will lead you. And he will be close to you. And you will know the warmth of his presence and the light of his leading as he leads you on into new things. Amen. Amen. If you felt something for Bethany as we're praying, please find her at the end and just share it with her. Great. Thank you. I spy Miwa's just pitched up. I do believe you're going away to university too. Come on down, sir. Stop hiding on the back row. Give Miwa a big shoot. Okay, Miwa, tell us what you're going to do, young friend.
Hi there, sorry for being late. I'm going to Coventry University. I'm doing sports management, so yeah.
Coventry University, sports and management, okay? Okay. I'll just translate from the teenage kind of speech, just in case for some of you. Let's hold out our hands and bless the boy. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for me. Well, thank you for what you have done in this young man. Lord, thank you that it's real, it's powerful. Thank you, Lord, that he is a follower of Jesus. And Lord, we want to send him in the power of the name of Jesus. We want to ask, Lord, that you would use him, that you would fill him, that you guide him. That, Lord, that this would be to him a whole new vista. It would be a whole new experience. It would be a whole new springboard into all that you have for him. Father, thank you that you are the God that opens doors. You are the God that closes doors. And you have given him this place to go and to blossom and to be a blessing and to receive in his own life. So we stretch out, as God's people, we stretch out a hand of blessing towards you, Miwa, today. I want to send you in the power of the Holy Spirit, asking he will keep you strong. He will keep your heart fully devoted to Jesus. And we pray for such favor, such blessing, and such protection. And all God's people said, amen. Give him a round, please. Fantastic. Anyone else going to university? Fantastic. We've got a very exciting weekend coming up next weekend. Nicholas, come and tell us about what's happening a week today. What are we doing?
Okay, very quickly. Louise, do you want to just come up? Every month or so at New Life, we try to have some kind of gathering that is especially easy to invite those that don't know Jesus. And this is one of them. And we tried to make the services a little bit shorter, accessible, and we usually have food afterwards as well. So just three thoughts about the International Day. First of all, people. The people who will come will probably be people that we invite personally. So pray about the people that you invite. We're going to have the kids are praying, teenagers are doing a reading. There's a play. We've got an international reading. We've got international songs. We've got incredible food, and we've got you. So it's going to be amazing. Seriously, it's a really great thing to invite people along, but we're very busy people. But I would ask you, just pray about maybe one person that you might like to invite. So people, prayer, and lots of other P's, pizza, pasta, pounded yam. Woo! So bring on lots of food. And Louise has got a little administration that she needs to do.
Thank you. Yeah, really looking forward to next week. And as Nick said, lots of things to be involved in. We're going to have a reading. It's been, if you've been here in the previous years, it's just been a real blessing. We've had reading God's word with people reading in different parts, in different languages. I'm very proud. According to Duolingo, I am 35% fluent in French. But I don't think that's going to be very good for next week if we're sharing the Bible in other languages. So if you speak another language because you come from another country or because you've learned it to a real and you're really fluent in another language, I'm going to come and find you, or please come and find me would be nice. And I've got some verses highlighted that we could share in many different languages that we have a privilege to have in this church, which is a real joy. So it would be really brilliant if we could cover. We have people here from all over the world. I think all the continents are covered. So it would be brilliant if we could have languages from as many countries as possible. So I might come and find you later. It's just a little warning.
Yes, and don't be shy. Do come and speak to Louise. I know we've added Ecuadorian and Turkish this year, and there are probably some others that we don't even know about. There might be some Italian from a conversation this morning, picking on nobody, even Romanian. So, do come and find Louise or find me, and I'll point you in her direction. Thanks.
Thank you. Michelle's been helping us as a church learn verses of the Bible. Michelle, come and tell us what we're doing this month.
Right. 2 Colossians 9 and 10, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Now, the reason we're learning them and looking at them, if you don't want to learn them, is to get God's view of who we are in Christ. Because if we know who we are in Christ, life becomes sweet and it becomes a lot easier because we don't, when we get knocked by things that happen around us, it doesn't affect us as deeply if the word of God is there. So keep at it if you can. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the kids are going to make a move now. So children, teenagers, babies, now's the time to make a move. If you brought children for the first time...